All right, so we're in Romans 12, and we're discussing what it means for love to be without hypocrisy. And we've spent time going over abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good, being devoted to one another, brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then last week, we discussed rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and we did not finish on being devoted to the Lord. So if you remember, just by way of kind of a little bit of review, verse 12 is kind of a singular unit. I'm glad the guy, when he was going through creating where the verses were, put these three specific aspects in one verse, because they really do make sense. They're completely connected, because the way that you're going to persevere in tribulation is by rejoicing in hope and being devoted to prayer. All of those things go together in order to create perseverance. If you're in the middle of something horrible, the only way you're really going to persevere through that and have the right mindset and attitude about it is to rejoice through it. It's to pray to God through those things and labor in those prayers to make sure that your petitions are going up to Him. And what that does is it takes a lot of the stress off, because you know that God is actually listening to you. He's the one that's actually in control. He's the one that's allowing you to go through these things. And He's the one that's going to answer that prayer as He sees fit moving forward. And that's really all we want. We simply want His will to be done in our lives. So as we go through these negative things in life, or positive things, or stressful things, or things that cause anxiety, whatever it might be, recognizing that He cares for us so we can cast our cares upon Him, that's a really great place to be. So today, though, we wanted to take a brief time and spend some time talking about what it means to be devoted to prayer. That's the Greek is really interesting here. So my goal here, and I want to kind of preface this, give a little caveat to the front end, and it's going to sound weird, I'm about to say. As I'm going through discussing what it means to be devoted to prayer, I definitely am not bashing prayer. Okay? I'm not bashing prayer. Okay? And you'll understand what I mean in just a second. I just want to have a very real discussion about it. A presentation about it, probably a better way to say it. So, the word for devoted means to attend constantly. Literally, it means to show steadfast strength towards it. So God wants us to show steadfast strength, continual strength, constant strength towards prayer. So we're going to get into some of the nuances of the Greek words here in a second. Do you typically have to show continual steadfast strength in something that's easy or something that's hard? Something that's hard. Things that require strength are not easy. I don't have to implement strength in doing things that are easy. I don't. I don't have to implement strength in watching a movie. I click a button, click a couple more buttons, and a movie appears on my screen. It's not hard. Okay? Now, going to Jeremiah's 8 o'clock and lifting 4 days a week and doing those things when you haven't gotten much sleep, that requires a little bit more self-discipline, okay? And, you know, and I know Jaden said, Jeremiah and I get along. You should just see the way he yells at me when we're working out. He's so mean. He gets in my face and screams, calls me a sissy girl. I mean, it's just, but, you know, he motivates me. So. No, Jeremiah is actually, as you all know, Jeremiah is probably one of the most encouraging guys you can be around. And that doesn't change when you're lifting with him. He's super encouraging. He paid me to say that. You have to use strength for things that are hard, and you have to use, and if something is telling you, the divine assessment is to show continual strength It must be something that's really hard. Now, the nuance of the word is this: to continue to do something with intense effort, even though it's difficult. To do something with intense effort, even though it's difficult. Now, there are some people who might have picked up prayer instantly and have never struggled with it. Praise the Lord for those folks. I am not one of them. I am not one of them. In times past, I have found it to be one of the most difficult things to do consistently in my Christian life. God doesn't tell us to be devoted to something, to continually be devoted to something that is just a natural, easy thing for us to do. He's only going to tell us to be devoted to things that are difficult. But this is also the way it works. The more you do it, the more you're trained by it, the more you recognize its value, the more you recognize it's essential, and you want to do it. You want to do it. Because you recognize the joy that it brings. You and even though it can bring joy, it doesn't mean it's not something that you have to don't have to apply any discipline towards. You know, I really like the whole physical training aspect of things lately because it does really help. It helps figure this out. I like the side effects of working out. Sometimes I really don't like getting up and doing it. Yeah, I mean, but when even though I've had a rough night, you know, Jeremiah and I are there and we always have a great time. You know, I'm always encouraged when I leave. Sometimes I'm even more, you know, tired when I leave than when I got there, whatever the case might be. But now it's like I don't ever want to miss because I like the side effects. I like the results. And even if I'm not feeling great, I'm still typically going to go most of the time. How much more so the eternal things, right? The things that are absolutely necessary for our relationship with God. See, being devoted to something, continuing to do it even though, continuing to do something with intense effort even though it's difficult. There is a concept that the thing that we are asked to do, hold on, I don't think my sentence makes any sense here. Hold on. Oh, okay, there we go. There is a concept that the thing that we are asked to show continued strength in is actually an extremely difficult thing to do. Prayer is difficult. Prayer is difficult. To quote one of my favorite movies, anyone who says anything else is trying to sell you something. Again, some people, it's just natural. They were able to do it. So if you struggle with it, it's okay to admit it. It's okay to admit it. Matter of fact, let's head over to Colossians 4. I think it's Colossians 4. Verse 12. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Laboring earnestly. It's work. So question is why? So again, I'm not bashing prayer. I just want to lay that out there. And I'm going to relate it to something kind of funny, but you'll see why I'm relating it to this. It's definitely not this, but I'm just going to relate it to something kind of funny. Have you ever had a conversation with the wall? If you have, how often? In other words, imagine you're sitting there talking to someone and they're not even looking at you and they never say anything to you, ever. How often, how diligent are you going to be in engaging in conversation with that individual? And for some folks starting out in prayer, it can seem like that, right? You're having this conversation and it's completely one-sided. We pray all the time. And I don't see God looking back at me. He's, you know, my marriage communication class is a class my wife and I took back in college. We took it together. It's one of the few classes that I think that we ever had together. And one of the things that they taught you to do is something called attending. It's part of the communication and listening cycle. So whenever I do counseling with folks, usually one of the major issues is communication. So I teach people, I don't teach them how to talk, I teach them how to listen. Everybody knows how to talk, right? People do a lot of it. They don't necessarily know how to listen. So one of the things that we do is we talk about attending. Yep. It's not attending. And my wife points it out to me sometimes. Because that's sometimes how our conversations go. I'm in the middle of looking up something. And so she always laughs because I do this purposely. I'm like, she's like, starts talking to me and I go, body language positive, leaning forward. And, you know, everything about body language and eye contact is showing I'm attending and I'm listening. And she just starts laughing because it's harkens back to our college days. You ever try to have a conversation with someone who's clearly not paying attention? It's difficult. You're not going to continue to have those conversations. And that person is physically there. How much more so your Heavenly Father, who's a spirit? You've never seen him. He's never talked to you. Audibly. And you're expected to have these conversations with him on a consistent basis. Yeah. This is what faith is all about, folks. Prayer is one of the ultimate acts of faith that Christians engage in. And you want to know what's super amazingly wonderful about it? Is that in a lot of times you don't have to wait too long to get a response. There were times, especially when you go through hard things. When I was sick last year, and I was trying to figure out what was going on, because again, everything's all messed up. There were times when I was out on my walks where I was praying, and I was praying hard for answers, and the answers came that day. It happened so many times because I was in a really precarious spot and I needed help immediately. And you know what the Lord did? He answered immediately. There's other times where the answers don't come for a long time. I mean, by the grace of God, I'm basically full time now for the church through support that's coming in from all over the country and support you all are given. Do you know how long I've prayed for that? 20 years. Finally happened. Took 20 years. But I prayed a lot over it. So you got some prayers, man, they're being answered immediately, and other prayers can take decades to answer. But prayer is one of the ultimate acts of faith that the Christian engages in because you can't see him. You don't know that he's actually listening physically. You don't know that he's actually there listening physically. If you're like me in the past, maybe you've probably had times where you've prayed and you don't know if the prayers have actually gone beyond the four walls of the room that you're sitting in. The only way we know that prayer works objectively is because the Bible says it does. So do we believe the Bible? Now, there's ways subjectively that you can know that prayer works through the answers. And we've all had prayers answered. Sometimes fast, sometimes slow. So let's talk about that faith that we need to have. So I'm going to highly, highly recommend something. If you don't have it, I think I've got a few of them. Mark Miller wrote a series of bulletin backs that he put into like a little study booklet on prayer. It's one of the best things I've ever read on prayer. It's fantastic. If you don't have it, I'll see if I can find a few of the ones that I've got and hand them out to you. Just let me know. And I think he might have sent me one via email, possibly. If he did, I can forward the digital copy over to you. He brought this out in the booklet, and it's something I'd never considered. People asked Jesus a lot of things when he was on earth, right? A lot of things. Guess how many times Jesus gave people what they requested of him? Every single time. He never refused a request. Not once. As a matter of fact, let's go to Mark 5. Mark 5. Verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken apart by him, or shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Did you catch that? A legion of demons inside of this man petitioned Jesus for something, and Jesus gave it to him. How much more so his children? Let's head over to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13. First John chapter 5, verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence, confidence, which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we will have the request which we have asked from him. So if we ask something according to the will of God, he hears us. And then we know that we have the request with which we've asked him. See, here's the confidence. So God values faith more than anything else, doesn't he? Perhaps the reason if we don't have prayers answered, it's because we're not asking with actual faith. You know, like if you go on your job and you need something to get your job done, and you petition your boss, and you have a reasonable, logical, well-thought-out reason why everything is there, and you present it that way, chances are if you have a reasonable boss and he can see that you need this to get your job done, what's he going to do or she going to do? They're going to give it to you. They're going to give it to you. How much more so our Heavenly Father? If there's something that we need to get the job done, and we go to him in faith, with confidence, not arrogance, confidence, they're quite often confused. Sometimes people see what they want to see. That's kind of how that works. But if we go with confidence, we know that he's going to answer us. Now, you still might believe that you need something, and you might have the confidence to go ask, but there might be another reason why we don't get it. Now, I already talked before, you know, maybe timing's off. Like I said, prayed for 20 years to go, and God finally granted it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Other things he answers right away. But there's also a prayer that I guarantee you he will never answer. Let's go to James chapter 4. We're actually going to keep on reading where Jaden stopped. I'll just go back to verse 1 and just start from the beginning. He says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." So, if we have wrong motives when we ask, we're not going to get it. That's why John chapter 5 has a really important caveat in there. Asking according to his will. His will. So, Jesus prayed to the Father and said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." What was the answer to his prayer? No. And what was Jesus' response? "Your will be done." So the point is that sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not now. Sometimes the answer is yes, but not in the way you think. See, Jesus' prayer actually, it was kind of a no on the surface, but did God save him? Yeah, he saved him through. He delivered him through the cross. He didn't save him from the cross. He delivered him through the cross. Sometimes God's will isn't for us to get out of a situation. God's will is for us to make it through the situation. And that's where the aspect of faith and humility comes really into the picture. And that concept in James chapter 4 really lays out. I don't think anybody in this room is praying for a Lamborghini. You know, I don't think anybody in this room is praying for $1 billion. Or whatever it is that, you know, Lord, I really think, you know, if I had like a multi-million dollar home with all of these extra things, I could really evangelize more because, you know, I'd have the space and the ability to be able to bring people in, really use it as a ministry tool. You know, Lord, you know, I really, you know, having a private jet would just be fantastic because, you know, I could get anywhere I needed to go and I wouldn't necessarily need to, you know, go through TSA anymore, you know, because those guys are violating my constitutional rights every time. And I know you don't want my constitutional rights violated, you know, because America. See? I know nobody in here is asking for that kind of stuff. I mean, you're not Kenneth Copeland, right? But when you think about what we're asking for, if it's anything other than God's will be done, and if it's something to make our lives easier, chances are that prayer is not going to get answered. I'm not saying that God's not going to deliver you out of situations. I'm not saying that at all, because he absolutely can. But at the same time, God's will might be for you to be delivered through the situation so that his perseverance and his perfect grace can be manifested in your life. So let's head over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. He says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses and with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Even Paul's answer was no. I've got an alternative plan for you. You're going to glorify me by relying on my grace through difficult situations so that you can teach other people how to do that too. How many of us in our Christian lives going through difficult times have referred back to what Jesus went through, to what Paul went through as encouragement and strength for us to persevere? Aren't you glad he went through that? Doesn't it help us? Not that we rejoice in his sufferings. He rejoiced in his sufferings. But because he rejoiced in his sufferings, I can rejoice in mine. Because I have an example. See, prayer is the ultimate act of faith for the Christian. Because everything we do with it is completely and utterly dependent upon how the Word of God frames it. And it's absolutely and utterly essential for us to be who we need to be and for the work to be what it needs to be as well. That's why we labor in it. That's why it's difficult. And that's why Satan wants to do everything he can to keep us from doing it. If we don't pray, we don't make it. If we don't pray, we're not walking righteously. If we don't pray, we're not imitating him. We're not going to be able to imitate him. When we don't pray, we're relying on our own strength. And that might get you through for a little bit, but that tank's going to run empty really fast. And the crash that comes, and we've probably all been there, the crash that comes at the end of that is not pleasant. But when we look at it correctly, you have an audience with the eternal God. A consistent, open-ended invitation with the eternal God. To ask Him anything you need. To request of Him anything that comes to your mind. Just to have, one of the things that I've been doing in my prayer life for the last several years, and I tell you what, it's been tremendously helpful for me. I talk to God like I'm talking to you. I don't use different language. And it's amazing how many people talk with regular American English, but pray in King James. Because thee thou art, hast been, they don't talk like that, but they pray like that. Like God's going to, oh, you know, it's kind of like when Paul was arrested in the temple and they got really quiet when he was speaking Aramaic. Is God like, shh, he's speaking King James. It's my favorite language. Everybody be quiet. I'm going to listen to this. I start talking to him like I talk respectfully, but I'm talking to him like he's right there. Like I'm having a conversation like I'm having with you. I don't worry about specific phraseology because I find that I can start repeating myself over and over again. I'm having a regular conversation. And the other thing that I've done that's been exceedingly helpful is I pray through the scriptures. Because if you ever are like, I just don't know what to pray for. It seems like I'm praying for the same stuff all the time. Been there, done that. Been there, done that. Pray through the prayers of the New Testament. Pray through the Psalms. Okay, let me give you an example. Let's see, what psalm have I just gone through recently? Let's go to Psalm 32. You know what psalms are, right? They're prayers set to music. That's what they are. You start praying through these psalms, I guarantee you your prayer life is going to start getting deeper, more substantive. You're not going to find yourself repeating a whole bunch of stuff, and you're going to find all kinds of things that you could be praying for. And the people that are on your list, if you pray for them through these types of things, it's not going to be boring. So let's just look at verses 1 and 2. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Think you can figure out how to pray through that? That's good stuff, right? It's like, Heavenly Father, I praise you that you are the kind of God that forgives and forgets somebody's sin when they come to you. Father, I thank you that you are a God who does not impute iniquity, that does not count iniquity against people. Father, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And if Phil happens to be on my prayer list for that day, I thank you, Father, for Phil and the fact that he realizes that his sins have been forgiven and how thankful he is for that. I pray that he continues to walk in that path of being utterly humble and thankful for his sins being forgiven. That's just two verses. I mean, you can go on and on about those two verses, right? This is one of the ones that kind of hit me, was down in verse 5. Actually, verse 3. It says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the songs of deliverance. Wow. If you got anything going on inside of you that you haven't been honest with the Lord about, you're not going to be able to pray through that and not get it out. That's why I think praying through the Psalms and praying through the Scriptures are so powerful, because what is it that these things do? They're the mirror that shows us the glory of God, but they also show us who we are. They show us the things that are inside that shouldn't be there, that need to be confessed and need to move forward. So praying through these things and having that honest discussion with God, it's absolutely essential for us. And it makes prayer alive. It makes it a joy. Because you're getting immediate feedback. That's the biggest problem with prayer, isn't it? The lack of feedback. You pray through the Scripture. I'm not saying you're going to hear a still small voice in your head, but God is working in your inner man through that time frame with that Scripture. Because remember, we always talk about the Scripture is God's communication to us. Our prayer is God's our communication to him, right? This is actually a conversation that God is having with you. You're praying through these things. He's speaking to you. It's like he's right there, because you know what? He is right there. It is a literal conversation that you're having with him. It makes it alive. And once you get trained by it, you crave it. Good communication. I'll just use my wife, and I'll wrap up here. I know I'm going long. I apologize. I'm going to finish up with this. Getting trained on how to communicate well and how to listen well is work. But once you do it, you crave it. My wife was gone for a couple of days up in Ohio, helping Joel pack up and come back. I only got to communicate with her for very brief snippets. I missed it tremendously. I crave conversation with my wife. I crave conversation with my kids. I crave conversation. I love having that intertwined nature. It's the same way with God. Learn to crave the conversation. When you bear your soul wide open to him and he's speaking to you through his word, and that word, it's not like reading another book. This word is alive and active. And I don't want to sound weird, but you can tell that when you're going through this. You can tell it. It's getting deep inside your soul, inside your spirit, inside your mind. And you start to crave that. Just like you do anything else that might be difficult, but yields amazing results. So treat it like a conversation. And be devoted to prayer. And see what God does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you, praise you, and thank you. Lord, we're truly humbled to know that we have a direct line with you constantly. Forgive us, Father, forgive me for the times that I have not treated that properly. And help us all, Father, to develop that deep, amazing relationship with you through prayer. The give and take, the back and forth through the Scripture and through our words. And help us to see, Father, that this truly is one of the greatest privileges we could ever hope for. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. And help us, Father, to follow you every step of the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.